The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott. This is Free Fire Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio with Carl Bott and Ted Light. You know, it's not Man Up.
Good morning. It's not Man Up.
It's
We've got
man
a week
up.
To do that.
And we got a week, yeah. Plus the fact, if it's Man Up, there's usually liquid refreshments sitting
there. Oh,
yeah.
The
only
yeah,
thing
true.
We're doing today is coffee. So, good morning, everybody. 7:05 in the morning here on the 12th of October. And the news is brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center. I tell you what, every time they come on the show, and they were on yesterday, there is something new they're doing down there. New pacemakers. Wireless things. Early detection before your heart stops. I mean, this is some really good stuff they've got going on down there. But hey, health care starts there.
Medical technology is incredible.
It is. It's incredible. Liam's at the helm. Good morning, buddy.
Good morning.
Liam, I didn't realize.
What's happening, brother?
You've got a collar.
I do have a collar.
You're wearing a collar today.
A collar.
What are you
I
doing?
I normally roll in just.
Yes.
In
we
the,
know.
In the
it's hard to describe. What Liam comes in some mornings. And I, you know, and no offense, son, you know I love you.
Yeah, I don't.
I think his pants are on backwards, and but they're not. He's a musician. What do you want? And he's 18. When you could be 19?
November 15th.
Man, he is so mature for being 18.
Me and my grandma actually have the same birthday.
You I thought he was like
my
in
grandma.
The mid-20s.
No, you know what? No, he acts like it, and it's scary. On the other hand, I have Linda. And I averaged their ages together. Okay. So, anyway, hey, what's the weather look like?
Alrighty. So, yeah, we're going to be in, like, the mid to high 90s through Friday. Today, 96. Thursday, 97. Friday, 96. Our evenings are going to be in the low 60s. We're going to hit 59 Friday night and 58 Saturday night. Saturday is going to be 92 and Sunday is going to be 86.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hey, weather reports are brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane, the Kenny family. I'm going to see Chuck tomorrow.
What are you guys doing?
We're just going to sit down and have lunch and catch up. It's been a couple months. He went on a camping trip, as he put it. Just got back from it. Other people might call it elk hunting.
Oh.
He said, but it turned into a camping trip. Great people down there. I tell you what, all the propane comes out of one tank. And so it comes down to customer service. And the Kenny family, and it is the Kenny family running this, treat their customers as friends. Discounts for seniors and veterans. It's a veteran-owned business, of course.
And Army. Go Army.
Go Army. He
Army
was
strong.
Helicopter pilot.
I know it.
Yeah. During Vietnam.
That's
where he was flying
nuts.
Every day. Except,
that's
you
nuts.
Know, when he was wounded. You can get a hold of them at 530-365-3793. Talking about Vietnam, if you remember, you're kind of young, but if you remember, a lot of the VFWs did not want to have Vietnam veterans in their VFWs.
I do not remember that.
This was at the beginning because, you know, your VFW then was, you know, was made up of Korean and World War II veterans, and they didn't think that being a year or 8 months or whatever sent over. And, you know, it wasn't a declared war. Of course, neither was Korea. But there was a time at the beginning they didn't want to welcome Vietnam vets. And I remember when one of them said, yeah, I was there for a year, but I was in combat for 300 days of that year. And a lot of the World War II vets, I'm taking absolutely nothing against them, of course, would do that island campaign. I'm talking about the Marines and some Army. Do that island campaign, come back and train, and then get back in. You know, they'd fight for several months and then come back. And then they'd train up and get ready to go to the next campaign. Well, if you were, in Europe, it was every day. But they soon got over that once they realized that there is, you know, that Vietnam vets were in combat. They were in combat a lot and consistently. So then they were welcomed, of course, and now they're the backbone. But now we want our Iraqi, our war on terror veterans joining our American Legion and our VFW post 1934.
Well, you know, 1934, did the move.
Oh, it's absolutely beautiful.
Did the move over to Park Marina. Yeah, yeah, over by Man's Last Stronghold.
Oh, yes, we're going to have to...
We're going to connect them. They're talking about it. The barbershop at Cypress Square Barbershop talking all about the VFW.
Yeah, they, you know, it's a veteran-owned business down there, and so they just kind of wander on over there and have lunch.
And Tim and Logan are like, "Yeah, you know, your post is right over here." I'm like, "Yep, I need to get over there and spend some time." And
well, we're going to have them on here soon. So
that'd be great.
Yeah. Anyway, the other thing is that the elections office just pointed out that they sent out 300 wrong ballots. And the they caught it, and the ballots, the 300 ballots were mailed to voters, but they with the changes in the districting, 300 people got the wrong one. So they're sending out other ones, and if you got a wrong one, and it's mainly over in the I'm trying to find it. The wrong district, because they got other, they got more redistricting information from the colleges and everything else. I'm not sure what the colleges. People who received the voided ballots were inadvertently assigned to the wrong precinct, is what Kathy Darlin Allen said.
That does not sound.
You know, it's on Ridgeview and White Hawk subdivisions in West Reading.
Ridgeview and White Hawk, huh?
Aren't those kind of like
the hoity-toities?
I was going to say
those are nice.
Ooh.
Yeah, so I'm sure they, you know, I'm sure they care.
What's new with you, buddy?
Well, as you know, Northern Firearms Incorporated, the gun shop, is now doing business. We've taken in inventory all week. We've been doing transfers and selling guns and ammo. And I've been there every day till like 9 o'clock, hanging TVs and putting up slapboard and, you know.
What's the address, sir?
It's 11091 Rhyolite Drive.
Okay.
Number one. You can't miss it. You can just drive down to the end of the street there on Rhyolite and look on the left-hand side. You'll see my wife and Ted Ogilvy in vinyl on the side of the building. So you can't miss that. So anyway, yeah, we
let's help people. Yeah, okay. Good.
Just east of Shasta Lanes.
Now, when you say east of Shasta Lanes, it means it's behind Shasta Lanes.
Right, right, right.
Okay. Yeah. You know, we're using east, south, north, northwest.
Yep. It's
north, northwest.
It's
pull in there at, off of Lake Boulevard, and the turnoff street is
Black Marble.
Black Marble. And then you take a.
You go right on Black Marble, and then the first left. J&K Muffler and Strong Automotive is right there on
the
corner.
You'll see it right off of Lake. So
then you drive back to the back, run the left-hand side.
What are your hours?
We open 9 to 5. We're open 9 to 5. We only take Sundays and Mondays off.
I wanted to tell you how much we appreciate the fact that you provided the firearms for our raffle.
You know what? It is it was
for
my honor.
For the Marine Corps, United States Marine Corps birthday.
They came in yesterday. And we marked them, and we're cleaning them up right now, getting all the cosmetic off them.
If you're looking for a MP shield or a 45.
Or a good hunting rifle.
Good hunting shotgun.
Rifle. Is it a rifle?
No. It's a Remington Game Master.
Oh, got it.
Well, I know it was.
There was a rifle, too, I thought.
No, we pulled
the
rifle.
I brought it in, so I'm going to show you.
No, you wanted to pull the package. You wanted to have a gun, rifle, or a pistol, rifle, shotgun.
Sportsman's package.
Sportsman's package.
It sets you up for the rest of your life in a gun, in the gun world.
It would. It would. Yeah. That's, you
know. Nice ones. Browning, Remington, and Smith & Wesson. But now we're going to do the 9, the 45.
9, 45, and the
shotgun.
And you can either be a 20-gauge, 12-gauge, or... 20 gauge?
Yeah.
Whatever gauge when you win. Tickets are $10, and you're going to see a bunch of people coming to your doors. And if you want to buy a raffle ticket, they're $10. And what that does is it helps for us to pay for the Marine Corps ball. We have not raised the cost of tickets. And since I've been here, it's $35 for a dinner, dessert, music, a ceremony that you'll never forget. And it's just a good time.
There are a few things better than the Marine Corps ball.
You've been there several times.
Oh, man, yeah.
And you even, and thank you, the Marine Corps appreciates it, you even got married on the Marine Corps birthday.
My anniversary is the Marine Corps birthday.
So it was tough getting you back in the next year, but you came.
Yeah, well, my wife, you know, she wants to shake it up.
Yeah, it was a party. So,
Okay. I always told her, honey, we're getting dressed up for our anniversary. I'm doing a lot for it. We're going to the Marine Corps Ball. $35 a ticket.
Marine Corps. The Marine Corps has actually given us a
party.
A party.
Look at all these people.
300 of your closest friends.
Awesome. Just love it.
Okay. Hey, look, we got to take a break. When we come back, this is we have a guest that has got a remarkable story. I mean, remarkable. And is things are done by the state that just totally infuriates you until you meet somebody that it works. So, yeah. So we'll, when we come back, we're going to start with him, and we've got to go to 8 o'clock. 8 o'clock, Jake Mangus rolls in here. Hey, this portion of the show, though, is brought to you by a veteran-owned business, B&T Satellite, Redding's Dish Premier local retailer, providing our area with the best value, service, and technology and TV for over 30 years. Don't call the 800 number. Call Doug Tooley at 530-241-3474 to set up your service. He's got so many great deals, I can't even begin to talk about them. There's too many of them. So if you have... If you're looking at changing your service, if you're looking at beginning your service, call B&T Satellite, 530-241-3474. We'll be right back.
Men were dead. He was vicious and a killer, though a youth of 24, and the notches on his pistol numbered one in 19.
I'm Tracy Edwards, CEO of the Redding Rancheria. Giving back to our local community is a tradition that is firmly rooted in our history.
Axiom Repertory Theater wants to thank the Rancheria for their generous grant to help support the arts and our theater in the community. Thank you so much for being a wonderful partner.
Hey, from all of us at Riddick Sports Club, we want to thank Redding Rancheria for all that you guys do for the community and for helping us out. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Redding Rancheria, proud to play our part.
Hello, Shasta County. Chris Kellstrom here once again. I'm running for District 5 Supervisor, and I'd be honored to earn your vote this November. I'm not a career politician, nor do I plan on ever becoming one. I am a common-sense Shasta County native who has over 40 years of customer service experience and a background in business management. I know how to get things done and treat people fairly. I will admit I lack political experience, but I consider that a good thing in this day and age of career politicians. The current man in the White House has decades of political experience, as do many of our so-called leaders in this state. Personally, I prefer common sense over political experience, and that's what I bring to the table. We have enough career politicians in this world, and I think serving in county politics should be one civic duty, not a career path or stepping stone to higher political office. I will push for term limits for the Board of Supervisors, and I'll refuse the retirement package on day one to prove my intentions. I believe we will get more done if a supervisor has only one or two terms in office instead of 20 years of empty promises. A vote for Chris Kellstrom is a vote for term limits. This ad paid for by the committee to elect Chris Kellstrom, District 5 Supervisor.
Redding loves seeing new people and families move here, looking to join our community. But when those same people run for office telling us their big city ideas can unlock the untapped potential of our home, they're wrong. It's a shame they feel that way and can't see what makes our community so special. If untapped potential means bringing San Francisco to Redding, then it's better we just leave that keg untapped. Re-electing Michael DeQuisto and voting for Marcus Pardon will make our community great. And they're going to do the work needed to safeguard our home, paid for by the committee to elect Michael DeQuisto.
Remember when filling up the gas tank didn't cost an arm and a leg? Me too.
Assemblywoman Megan Daly.
That's why I support suspending the gas tax to provide immediate relief from high gas prices and put money back in the pockets of working families.
Megan is focused on real life issues impacting families, reducing the high cost of living, making items like food, gas, and diapers less expensive.
And like you, I'm tired of the wildfires and smoke that plague our region.
That's why Assemblywoman Megan Daly led efforts to improve forest management, put more firefighters on the front lines, and secured millions to help fire victims and communities recover. Megan's good work has earned her the endorsements of the California Professional Firefighters and California Correctional Peace Officers Associations.
California has to do better. That's why I'm fighting to fix the policies that have failed us all. Let's get California back on track and be sure to turn in your ballot.
Megan Daly for Assembly.
Paid for by Megan Daly for Assembly 2022.
I'm Tracy Edwards, CEO of the Redding Rancheria. Giving back to our local community is a tradition that is firmly rooted in our history.
From our family at Market Street Blade and Barrel, thank you, Redding Rancheria, for all you do. You guys rock, community. Thanks again. See you soon.
from the family of Trendy, we want to thank Redding Rancheria for all you have done for the businesses of the community of Redding. Thank you very much, and God bless you.
Redding Rancheria, proud to play our part.
This is Baron Browning. I'm running for Shasta County Supervisor to make sure the worst wildfires we've faced stay in the past. Like you, I've witnessed the aftermath of fires, millions of dollars in destruction of property, endless loss of natural beauty, and the needless lives of heroes taken. No one should have to live in fear their home will burn down. With your vote, we'll combat wildfire together.
Paid for by the committee to elect Baron Browning for Supervisor 2022.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios, KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio with Ted Leidy and Carl Bott. The 12th, it is the 12th of October, 7:20 in the morning. It's about 50 degrees.
Nice. Whoa. Very nice. Okay. I wish it was like 5 degrees. Oh. I love it. I love the cold, man. I want some cold. I'm missing it. Just some it's cold. Cold weather comes with cold.
This portion of the show brought to you by Cornerstone Community Bank. They've been in the business for 15 years. It's a local bank. It is a community bank. Local board of directors, people you know running the bank. 4 branches, 1 in Red Bluff, 2 right here in Redding, and 1 down in Anderson. Learn more at bankcornerstone.com. We've been doing business with Cornerstone Community Bank. Very happy with it. Okay, Ted talked to me about having a guest on, and I think, yeah, of course. I love stories that turn out right. And Ted, introduce our guest.
So, our guest this morning is Brian Seamus. Brian and I grew up together, played a lot of sports together. Brian's dad, was instrumental in, you know, making me who I am today. Was a great, great, great man. We both became adults, went and did our own certain things. Brian, ended up incarcerated, and I ended up in the Army. Through his life, I'm gonna let him tell his story through the questioning and the interview, but through his life, he got on a road that wasn't good, of course, and, ended up really spending most of his adult life in prison. I'm not really sure about it. We'll get into that. Yeah. Gained his freedom in May. Gained his freedom in March. And is out working. Been with one company the entire time he's been out, is reestablishing his relationships in the community, and just really has a story that is uplifting in my opinion, Okay. So good morning, Brian. Welcome to the show.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Okay, Brian, you were Cottonwood?
I mostly ran around Cottonwood, Anderson, mm-hmm. Happy Valley.
Okay, and you went to
West Valley High School.
Yeah.
Okay.
Go Eagles.
Tell our audience a little bit about your story here.
Well, some time back I realized that I had only ever been responsible enough to be irresponsible. You know, I felt like having a plan was for dummies, and that left me open to all the peripheral stuff, the distractions, everything that comes. You know, successful people have a plan, and a goal, and they work towards that. And even when they stumble, they get back up and stay focused on their plan. I didn't have any of that. And that was one of my glaring errors, you know, that I recognized over the process of growing. I had a lot of good upbringing. I had good influences. Like Ted mentioned, my dad, you know, real, real good man. I chose to basically self-retard myself with drug use. And I ran amok. You know, I worked enough to where I could pay for my way, but I didn't work towards anything. And now, you know, all that's changed. I've done a 180 on that. I'm working towards a future, you know, some kind of legacy, some positive impact in the community. You know, when you do crime, whether you're addled on drugs or not, you damage a huge part of the population. You know, when I went away in 97, it was for a burglary. I broke into somebody's home when they weren't there, and they came home, and I attacked them. And I shattered their sense of security in the most sacred of places, you know, their own home. Now, you know, in my mind, I think not only of them, but their family and the people that live around them. You know, every night, do they hear a noise and worry, you know, is some other idiot coming back into their life? And those are the things that I'll never not think of. You know, those are my burdens to bear, but I will bear them with honor and never be that guy again, you know, nor will I miss an opportunity to influence somebody else away from that type of behavior. And I'm hoping, you know, people hear me today, that's something maybe they'll correct their course.
Well, Brian, your beginning of the slide was on drugs. Yes. Started with drugs. When did you start drugs?
At 14.
14. And what did you start with?
Speed.
Whoa, yeah. You just went right to that, huh?
Well, my mother gave it to me. It was Benzedrine. You know, she got it from an ex-boyfriend that was a trucker. And she had me working with her on a graveyard shift at a Circle K down in Arizona. And, you know, what I've learned through, you know, pharmacology classes and stuff since then, that first dose of that stuff rewired my brain to seek that, you know, because it kicks in. It affects your nerves.
You know, we've had Dr. Goldstein on, and it's unbelievable the what drugs does to your, you know, your, quote, pleasure center,
mm-hmm.
where we run around at 60%, 70%, mm-hmm. we're very happy.
All day? 60%, 70%?
Well, 50%, 60%. Yeah, I mean, we're happy. Once drugs get into it, it blows that up to almost, and depending on the kind of drug, 80, 90, and you're then at that point, that's the rewiring you're talking about. The only time that people that are into drugs really, you know, they're happy and everything's working right is when they've had on drugs, and it's just an incredible feeling for them. According to Dr. Goldstein.
Isn't that the difficulty is also your body? When it builds up inside of you and you just have
tolerance.
Yeah, your body has a tolerance and you have to have more and more and more and more. Right. That's part of the problem, right? Right.
Sure.
Okay, Brian. So you're 14 and your mom gave you some Benzedrine, like diet pill type things that used to be available back in the 60s and 70s.
Yeah.
You know, almost over the counter. So what started you down drugs, obviously. So how old were you when you started getting into trouble?
First time I ever had any trouble with the law was 15, down there in Arizona. Me and a buddy of mine were out joyriding in a pickup and drinking beers, you know, out in the country. And a local county sheriff deputy got behind us and lit us up. And my buddy thought running would be a good idea. It ended up, you know, this guy shot our tire out, you know, and then found out we were juveniles, took us to jail. And I ended up on probation, you know, and all that stuff. And then it was a long time until I got in any more trouble with the law, but it was just more happenstance than my efforts to stay away from it because I was running around like a wrecking ball.
Okay. And so that was in Arizona. Did you then move up to here?
Yeah. I had been up here. I went down to Arizona. I graduated from West Cottonwood in eighth grade back in 79 or 80.
Go Chiefs.
Yes, sir.
Go Chiefs.
And right after eighth grade, I went down to Arizona to live with my mom. I did my freshman year and part of my sophomore year. That's when I came back up here to school at West Valley.
And that's where you met?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, there. I want to take a quick break. We're going to come back, and let's get into, you know, the rest of your life, what put you into prison and for how long. But then, of course, why you're here now.
All right.
Hey, this portion of the show brought to you by friends over at Crackmaster Windshield Repair. It's a veteran-owned business. Jeff Wurst is truly an expert when it comes to repairing windshields. Whether it's a small chip or a crack over 2 feet in length, he can fix it. You'll be happy. It guarantees it for life. You don't want to take chances with your family safety or your safety if a windshield that cracks while you're going down the freeway. For a free inspection and analysis, bring your car, your truck, or RV. He fixes a lot of RV windows. Over to 3208 South Market Street or give Jeff a call at 530-241-8373 for an appointment today. That's Crackmaster Windshield Repair. It's a veteran-owned business. We'll be right back.
KCNR Shasta is also broadcasting at K243CT Redding.
Hi, this is Erin Resner, candidate for Shasta County Supervisor, District 1. I've been blessed to call Shasta County home for most of my life. My husband and I have built a business, served the community, and raised a family all right here in Shasta County. Like many counties, we have our share of complex problems, and those complex problems require real, long-term solutions. Whether addressing homelessness, mental health, or public safety, I can promise I will listen to you, work with you, and fight for you and our community. Vote for me on November 8th.
Paid for by Erin Resner for Supervisor 2022.
I'm Max Steiner, the Democratic candidate for Congress here in CD1. I am a combat veteran and a political moderate. I am pro-timber, pro-gun, pro-choice, and pro-America. I am not a typical woke Democrat, and I am not a career politician. My legislative priorities as your representative would cut across party lines. We need to protect the fundamentals of our democracy. We must reduce fire risk by thinning our forests, strengthening the timber industry, and hiring more firefighters. We need to build more dams to reduce the impacts of climate change. We should codify Roe v. Wade into law. Finally, we must ensure security abroad with a strong military and security at home with strong police forces. We need to make big changes in Washington. If we keep voting for the incumbents, nothing will ever change. We need politicians who will put principles over party, politicians who will say no to the far left and the far right. We need politicians who will truly put America first. In November, I would be honored to earn your vote.
Hey Shasta County, Chris Kellstrom here again, your candidate for District 5 Supervisor. On the campaign trail, a lot of the complaints I hear seem to surround some of our county code enforcement and health department. I believe we have some great people working for our county enforcing our codes and rules, but I would like to see some of those departments to redirect their focus a bit. When we have transient camps full of filth, waste, and drug paraphernalia, I would encourage our health department to concentrate on those areas rather than the small business owners or volunteers who are already doing their best to comply with our codes and ordinances. When there are large-scale marijuana grows being conducted in our county by non-county residents and even some out-of-country growers, we need code enforcement to concentrate on the pesticides and fertilizers that are contaminating our environment rather than the unpermitted carport or the above-ground pool that isn't up to code. Shasta County is a great place to live, raise a family, and retire to, but we do have some problems. I would like to use some of our great people and county assets to help solve those problems and lessen the burden on our law-abiding citizens. I'm Chris Kellstrom, and I would be honored to earn your vote. This ad paid for by the committee to elect Chris Kellstrom, District 5 Supervisor.
Hi, this is Marcus Barton, candidate for Redding City Council. As a resident and business owner in this area for over 20 years, I pledge to use my experience to improve the quality of life in Redding. I will support responsible development while safeguarding historic properties like the riverfront and rodeo grounds. I will support our law enforcement officers and firefighters so that we have the best emergency services possible. I will support our business community by cleaning the bureaucratic muck bogging down our permit approval process. With your vote, I commit to putting your priorities first.
This is Michael DeQuisto, Redding Vice Mayor. I'm supporting and wholeheartedly endorse Marcus Parton for City Council.
Paid for by Marcus Parton for Redding City Council 2022.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR 96.5.
What's going on? Good morning,
I know, Carl. I have not started my day off good.
You're doing fine, man.
No, I'm fine. You know, I wish I could tell people that when they see me limping around that it was because I was helping somebody break a horse that was wild and crazy. No, I just got into a physical altercation with my pop-up tent.
Oh, that's right.
That we used
right,
for
yeah.
remotes, and it had me on the, I mean, literally, knocked my feet out from underneath me and we're rolling around.
Wow.
And yeah, do you think that would, you know, no, I want to have that thing where, you know, I was hit by a tank or something.
Wrestled a mountain lion.
Wild hog ran into the backyard and I had to wrestle him and throw him over the fence. Yeah. No. A pop-up tent with KCNR written all over it kicked my butt.
Well, I'm here to tell you, you did great at the advanced CCW course on Sunday.
I stopped at noon because I saw what was going on.
Yep.
in the next 3 hours. And it was a great course, shooting from different positions, but just having to get down and get up. I could get down.
The obstacles. You saw the pictures.
Yeah, you and Ogilvy have to get me up.
Yeah, so that's okay. It was a great class. You know, we had 12 instructors there from NFI. And, when we all get together, was there more than 12?
More.
Yeah.
Because we had, because people were, because there wasn't enough targets for Steven. So he was one over, so that would have made 13 plus the other two people that were there. So I was able to hand my target over to Steven.
I just love to see all them instructors working hard.
Oh, they are.
You know, towards you got to be a master.
I talked about how Brian Rehm, because when we teach, it's, on how to defend yourself. He got into the all aspects of it.
Yeah, and Brian is an incredible curriculum
and
writer.
And something that we can all use in the future.
Oh, yeah.
On what I'm teaching. Anyway, let's go to our main reason we're here.
Brian's off work today, so we need to get him going. Yeah.
Brian has an interesting story. He spent almost all of his adult life in jail or prison. He's a West Valley graduate. And I think it's important to hear. It started when he was 14 with drugs. And then it was just kind of a continuing thing. What put you in prison the first time?
The first time.
Initially, I had an armed robbery in Modesto, California, back in '89. And again, drug-addled, alcohol-fueled. I had went to go kill my brother-in-law for cheating on my sister, basically hurting her. And I got to his house. I couldn't follow through with it because there was a bunch of people there. So I stopped at a liquor store to get a beer. And now I understand the way I perceived the clerk looking at me was just me seeing me. But I used to tell the story, oh, yeah, this guy looked at me like I was something on the bottom of his shoe. So I pulled a gun out and robbed him. I had no intention to rob him. I was working, had money in my pocket. But that little interchange between him and I was basically me looking in a mirror. So I robbed a store. I took off driving, randomly found another store. And I robbed it. Then I had a high-speed car chase. And I ended up getting 7 years, 8 months for 3 counts of armed robbery and assault with a firearm. And the whole time I was in, a little over 4 years, I did nothing to work on myself. I stayed in my addictions.
The prison?
Yes. Yes, sir.
Because you can get drugs in there.
Oh, yes. There's anything you want in there. It's, you have free staff, not necessarily guards, that bring stuff in on a regular basis.
People that work in the prison.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
There's anything you want in there, basically.
Okay. Did you have to join a certain gang I don't know if that depends on the prison or what.
There's various security levels. The higher levels you go to, there's more structure, if you will. You basically get in where you fit in. Everything is divided by race. And then after that, it's by region, what gang you're from, neighborhood. If you live in the city, they break everything up by neighborhoods. And, yeah, there's pressure to basically you go along to get along type thing.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of violence perpetrated in there in the misguided belief that they have some nobility to them. They put all these rules in place that, as criminals, they didn't follow in the world, but they get into prison and they have all these, draconian rules and punishments for breaking them. And you take part in things that, in hindsight, there's nothing to be proud of. You're harming other people, often your own.
So you did 4 years and then you got in trouble again.
Yeah, I remember when you were home after the first four.
Yeah.
Because we hooked up.
Yeah. Did you,
I remember
that.
We did.
Did that have any impact on you, the first four? It doesn't sound like it did from what you said.
Not in a way that I would have hoped, because I've met other people that have done a little bit less time than I did, and they
saw it right away.
Yeah, they corrected their course. I felt like I was just going to be able to control what I was doing.
Mm-hmm.
I came home. Got married.
You got married, got in trouble again.
Yeah.
All right. I'm kind of pushing this forward because of our time schedule here, because I want to talk about what. So the last time in prison was for how long?
I just did almost 25 years right now.
And 25 years?
Yeah. I've total of 32 years of my life has been in prison.
And how old are you?
56.
56. So what point when you were in there did you realize that, and you were a three-time offender?
Yes.
At that point. So, which means you're in there for life.
Right.
So when was it while you were in there that you realized that maybe I didn't take the best path?
Well, it actually hit me while I was sitting here in Shasta County Jail when some lucidity started coming back to me, and I realized, as I'm reading the police reports, bits and pieces of what I had done actually came through, and I realized that I had indeed done this terrible crime. And there was a mental picture came into my mind, and it was my youngest daughter. And in my mental picture, this was spontaneous. It wasn't something I consciously formed, but I spit on my daughter, and then a voice says, if you ever stick that crap in your arm again, this is what you'll be doing. So I've been drug-free ever since. August 18th was 25 years drug-free.
Oh.
But
while incarcerated.
Well, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
Okay. So, again, for time's purposes, the legislature, the voters passed this thing, doing away, or Newsom said, if you've certain offenses and you've had, three-time strike, they re-looked at it.
Prop 57.
Prop 57.
Yeah, so.
So, and we have railed against that.
Oh, yeah.
Because it was, as far as I was concerned and many, many other people, this has caused a big problem. But you fell under that.
Yes, sir, I did. It gave me the opportunity to put light at the end of the tunnel, if you will.
Yeah.
When we had a seminar at one of the prisons I was at, a guy named, Scott Budnick, he's with the ARC, the Anti-Recidivism Coalition. Mm-hmm. He came in with 8-9 guys that had all done 20 or more years and were now out and able to come back into prisons and send the message that, hey, if you do the work, you can go home. And that was the first time. I'd already been doing a lot of self-change work on my own, correspondence courses and stuff, but when I heard them talk.
Did the prison encourage you?
No, absolutely not.
Okay. No. So this was all like self.
They see it as a threat to their job security. Most of the staff in the prison system, they're very against us doing anything to benefit ourselves. Because a lot of people will game the system.
Yeah. Well, that's a big thing. Yeah. For every one of Brian's, there's 100.
Correct.
That are gaming the system.
And you probably know the percentage on that, right? I mean,
well, people that have done the time that I've done and be found suitable at board and get out, less than 1% reoffend.
Wow.
That's, under a small population of lifers.
Yeah. That's because your age.
Well, yeah. And
how long you've been in.
Well, if you think about a monk in a monastery, the time afforded for that guy to introspect and reflect and grow.
Oh, yeah.
It's the same thing in there if you use it appropriately. You have the time. You have the means, access to all types of reading material. I've read an eclectic mix of all kinds of stuff. Psychology, philosophy, self-help stuff.
Yeah.
And the time is afforded you if you'll do the work. Because osmosis doesn't get it done. You can't just want something. You have to put in the work.
Yeah. Oh, no. That's one of my favorite terms is osmosis.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's not just going
to
happen.
Doing the right thing just because you're standing there, that'll never happen. You have to work at it. Okay. So they came up and they were going, and you fell under that, and you had to go in front of a board.
Mm-hmm.
Did you go to just one board, or did you have to go to a few?
No, my very first board, I was found suitable.
Okay.
And I prepared, I went off script too, because there's all types of information on how to get ready for board. Everybody's got an opinion. People that never go to board will fill your ears with all their notions on what
to do. Oh, yeah, yeah. Just like a promotion board for us, Carl. It really is.
Yeah. I followed my instincts, and I presented my whole life to them on paper. I wrote copious pages. They were probably tired by the end of reading everything. But I basically told my whole story like a novel, my formative years, all the chaos and stuff that I did, and then my becoming aware of the wrongness of my behavior, And then I started seeking the means to correct it, finding tools, you know, to bring to situations rather than anger. I had a counselor made a statement one time. He says, if you walk through life with a hammer in your hand, everything looks like a nail.
Mm-hmm.
And it was so appropriate to me because, you know, violence was the way of solving everything. Because basically I was still a scared little boy running around putting this front out that, hey, you don't want to mess with that guy. You know, and all that does is attract problems. You know, yeah. you're radiating, you know, mm-hmm. negative.
Okay, we're going to take a break and come back. And when we come back, we're going to talk about your release and what you've been doing since then.
Okay.
And then we've got something we want to ask our friends and listeners and here in the Redding Cottonwood area. We need some help here. So we're going to take a quick break, and we're going to be right back.
Redding loves seeing new people and families move here, looking to join our community. But when those same people run for office telling us their big city ideas can unlock the untapped potential of our home, they're wrong. It's a shame they feel that way and can't see what makes our community so special. If untapped potential means bringing San Francisco to Redding, then it's better we just leave that keg untapped. Re-electing Michael DeQuisto and voting for Marcus Pardon will make our community great. And they're going to do the work needed to safeguard our home, paid for by the committee to elect Michael DeQuisto.
Wind River Resort and Casino is thankful for all our guests and would like you to come down and play our Thankful Tuesday $68,000 Swipe to Win promotion. Swipe daily to win free slot play and prizes. Earn four times the entries on Sundays and Mondays. Weekly drawings Tuesdays in October and November from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Drawings every half hour. Winners will pick three game pieces off the game board for free slot play. And the highest winner every half hour will win $1,000 cash. All the details are at WinRiver.com. Find your moment at Wind River Resort and Casino.
Shasta County, Chris Kellstrom here again. I am running for District 5 Supervisor, and I'd be honored to earn your vote. District 5 includes Anderson, Cottonwood, Shingletown, and now Happy Valley. The one thing all these areas have in common is water issues, or better yet, the lack of water. The ACID canal is empty for the first time ever, and this has caused an environmental nightmare for the South County. Wells are going dry, ponds and creeks are drying up, fields and pastures have been destroyed. Happy Valley has been facing water shortages and severe cutbacks for a few years now, and in Shingletown, Grace and Nora Lakes have been drained. Plus, their water storage project has been held up over government red tape and regulations. Mark Twain once said, whiskey is for drinking and water is for fighting over. Shasta County needs a fighter who will fight for the people and stand between the citizens and government overreach and red tape regulations. Water is the lifeblood of the earth, and I will fight for that lifeblood for Shasta County. I'm Chris Kellstrom, and I would be honored to earn your vote. This ad paid for by the committee to elect Chris Kellstrom, District 5 Supervisor.
100 years ago, Simpson University began with a promise to be the gateway to world service. 30 years ago, we moved to Redding with a promise to serve the North State, graduating professionals who live and serve our growing community. Today, Simpson University continues to provide a Christ-centered education, graduating students with mature and infectious faith, critical competence, and a ready spirit to thrive as servant leaders around the world and at our backyard. Learn more about Redding's hometown university at simpsonu.edu.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. Although Coachmaster is recognized as the authority and specialist in frame and suspension, we are primarily your auto body and truck collision repair center. This includes all vehicles, Lexus, Honda, or pickup trucks. Our technicians are highly trained and have the most advanced equipment to ensure a complete and quality repair. With our knowledge and the insurance claim process, all we need is your claim number to handle your claim. Coachmaster has a great working relationship with all insurance companies. This ensures a complete repair with quality parts and a delay-free process. At Coachmaster, in our 50 years in business, we've experienced almost every situation imaginable in a claim. This experience and personal dedication to the repair of your vehicle sets Coachmaster apart from all other choices. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Welcome Welcome back. Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Ted Leidy's with me today, and we've got Brian Seamus with us. Brian spent how many years?
Total of 32. This last stretch was almost 25.
Okay, 32 years incarcerated in the prisons here in California. He was part of that Prop 57 group. That he was, he had three strikes. He went in front of a board, first board, and they thought that he's going to be able to make it outside, and he was released. And you came back then to Reading.
Yes, sir.
Brian, I want to ask him one question before he gets on to what we're doing right now. When you were third, when you had three strikes, and you were looking at life, the rest of your life in being locked up, what did that do to you mentally? I mean, did you decide you were just going to make this normal and you were going to live your life there and try to, I mean, do you guys have like activities and I mean, how does that work? When you think you're going to be locked up for life, it's got to mess with you.
Well, initially, especially in California, if you get a life sentence, you know, everybody knew supposedly that you're going to die in prison. So you get a total lack of care for your own safety or others, you know, for the first probably 16 months of that term, I was a raving maniac. I had 7 DA referrals, 3 SHU terms.
What's a SHU term?
That's a secure housing unit where, like, if you perpetrate violence or do, you know, major things, they put you there. It's like a serious
So life sentences make prison more dangerous.
Of course it does. They have nothing to lose at that point except their lives. Which at that point doesn't seem like it's worth a lot to you, probably.
Correct.
Okay, Brian, so you got out, and you came back home.
Yep.
To our area here. What happened then? You got out when?
March 5th.
And, you were out March 5th. You came home. Did they give you like a bus ticket and any money or anything?
Well, no, I had saved money. They give you $200 gate money. And with one of the provisions the board put in place, you know, finding me suitable, I had to go to a transitional house for 6 months and do the programs that are there, you know, substance abuse, anger management, stuff like that.
Okay.
Things that I had already done, but, you know,
sure.
They
That's
still
okay.
mandate
You're
you
out.
Do them. Yeah. So I spent those first six months at Visions of the Cross right here in Reading. Phenomenal place, good people, high success rate too, but, I was able to have a positive influence on a lot of people there that I hadn't even realized until my graduation ceremony. You know, everybody gets to speak.
Mm-hmm.
And it was pretty humbling and, one of those want to give yourself a high five kind of moments.
Sure.
I got it. I got a video of it. I saved it on my phone.
Yeah, you were graduating from this, and then you found out that other people looked at you as a leader and somebody to go to. Okay, so it's tough getting a job.
Well,
for most people in this situation.
There was a place, it's called the Beneficial Insectary. They have 3 or 4 different installations here in the area. They basically breed these hybrid bugs that are assassins for other bugs. And that was my first job when I came home. And they have a propensity to hire ex-felons. And I knew it was a stepping stone job when I got it. You know, mm-hmm. I was looking for something, for, you know, career-wise. And a real good friend of mine, her and her husband, own a business locally. And they gave me a chance, you know.
You didn't want to.
No. And
I think
you know,
this is important.
Rightly so. You know, he had a bad experience with an ex-felon. And so he was on guard. And again, rightly so, but he gave me a chance, you know, and now one of the things I learned in my process of growth is you have to be able to recognize opportunities when they present, you know, and this was a phenomenal opportunity for me. So I'm all in there, you know,
I'm going to tell people who the business is.
Okay.
So I think it's important that people know that, because this is a well-established business.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, sir. So they're global. Their products are around the world.
And the company is?
Tor Industries.
Yeah. And, okay. That job was, you really got that job because of connections in the community.
Correct.
Because, you know, Lisa, used to be trial member, Lisa Orr, you guys kept in contact, or how did you find that? How did that happen?
Facebook, when I got out.
Okay.
Facebook.
Yeah, kind of like me. How you contacted me, let me know you were out. Yeah. And she's phenomenal. He's phenomenal.
Yeah. Good people.
Gave you a chance.
Gave you a chance. And what do you do there?
We're building machines. Basically, it's automated machinery that
distributes amount and packages multiple products from wine to medical serums, cold brew coffee, all types of stuff.
Yeah, because they've got to bottle them and package them someplace. So Tor Industry builds the machines that do that.
Yes, sir.
Okay. And how long have you been there?
Since June 3rd.
Since June.
Okay. And you just went full time?
Yeah, I've been full time, but I was through a temp agency. Now I'm actually on payroll with them.
With retirement and vacation and all that kind of stuff?
Yeah.
Right on.
All the things you fought against for first part of your
life. Never thought I'd be a part of.
Yeah, that's so cool, man.
Feels pretty good now.
Absolutely.
Important part of your journey, too. You know, I think about you all the time, man. I know you just bought that motorcycle and you and I are going to go on a putt together.
Yep.
Here directly. I just worry about, your environment because I know, addicts are addicts, man. And I just want you to know that every 24 hours that goes by that you're out and not in and staying out, and doing the right thing and enjoying life just makes me so happy. Because I know it's going to be a struggle for the rest of your life. It's going to be a struggle.
But that's something, that's a struggle I created. That's on me to bear that,
Yeah, oh, sure. And I understand. And definitely want you to know that that you're a blessing to me. You and I have got to spend some time together since we reconnected, and I just really enjoy our time together. I love your perspective on stuff, man, and how cool you are about everything. Yeah, he's cool. He's just like so relaxed, and everybody really like kind of gathers around him. And Kevin Tedder, you remember Kevin from the banquet? Told me to tell you hi.
Uh-huh.
We trained this. I saw him yesterday. I showed him my house, and so so it's just really cool.
Now, you're living in Cottonwood,
yes.
But one of the things we want to talk about is that you're looking for a home.
Yes.
For your fiance and her two kids. So we wanted to put that word out.
Right,
that,
right.
If you've got a fixer-upper, if I understand this right, when we talked about it, you've got a fixer-upper, you've got a property that may have been hard to rent. We're looking for a residence for a family of four.
Well, there's six of us, right?
Okay,
now.
Six.
Yeah.
Six.
Yeah.
And two dogs.
Yep.
So I'm going to throw that out there.
Doesn't have to be big. Doesn't have to be beautiful. Just to start. Let's get in the West Valley School District. So Happy Valley, Cottonwood, Anderson, somewhere in there where he can get back and forth to school. What grade is he in?
He's a freshman. He just started high school.
Oh, he's just getting started, so it's going to be long-term.
Brian can do the work inside the house.
I've got some construction skills.
I got a construction background, mechanically inclined.
Okay.
Yeah, so.
Brian, what do you want to tell people? We got a couple minutes here. Because kids, their brains aren't developed.
Correct.
What do you want to tell people?
Well, one of the biggest things that I realized, in my process is to get out of your own way. Is a huge thing because, we tend to get caught up in behavioral patterns. We solve a problem with a certain reaction one time, so it sets in our head that, okay, that's how I fix stuff. Well, you never question when you use that same process and it doesn't work because it worked that one time, but you keep going back to it because it's familiar, and that's being in your own way. You're stuck in a rut. You have to challenge the way you think and the things you believe. You got to start asking questions like, okay, why do I believe this? Where's the proof to keep this in place? And when you start doing that, you have to be willing to shift when there's no proof to uphold what you've been believing.
Yeah. It's that old, if you do the same thing and expect a different result, right?
You're insane.
Definition of insanity. Yeah, that's absolutely true. And
If you've got something that you think that, a piece of property or a residence, of course it's got to be able to move into, but still needs lots of work, you need to get a hold of Brian. And how do they do that?
Well, my personal number is 530-782-3987. I'm on Facebook.
Or you can Facebook me.
Or you can Facebook Ted, or you can Facebook me. I'm going to put it out on Facebook. And, when somebody has reached this point in their life when it couldn't get any lower but then pulled themselves out of this, after spending most of their adult life in prison and is moving forward with their life. Anything we can do to help.
And you work full-time. Angie works full-time. So you guys have a good income.
Right.
You're just looking for a place. Yep. I got
so that's the big thing.
And we understand that with two dogs, you know, it can
be
difficult.
Tough.
But
yeah.
So you probably need a 3-bedroom, 2-bath.
Yeah. Yard be good.
And a yard, yeah.
Yard would be
yeah.
nice.
And it doesn't have to be, you know, beautiful because you'll fix it up.
Absolutely.
It can be, you know, a couple acres around there and everything.
That would be great.
And now you're going to have somebody there that's paying your rent and fixing the place up.
Right, right.
Okay. Brian, thanks so much for coming on today and sharing your story. It wasn't, I know it hasn't been easy for you, but, I really believe just by looking at you and looking in your eyes that you're going to make it. And so.
Oh yeah.
Thank
oh, yeah.
you.
Okay. I love you, brother.
I know that.
I love you.
Got a break from the news and Jake Mangus will join us, when we come back after the news in Reading Chamber of Commerce.
Right on.
KCNR. Shasta, Reading.
Corruption, backup diesel generators are keeping nuclear safety and security equipment operational. Grossi has tweeted, "This repeated loss of the plant's off-site power is a deeply worrying development." I'm Charles de Ledesma.
President Biden vowing consequences to the Saudis after they back OPEC's decision to cut oil output. The White House accusing Saudi Arabia of siding with Russia because a production cut will boost Vladimir Putin's oil income used to pay for the war in Ukraine. President Biden is denouncing Russia's ongoing strikes on civilian targets in Ukraine.
It's brutal. It's beyond the pale.
Which is what some Americans might say about inflation. The government's producer price index released this morning shows a 0.4% increase from August to September. Year over year, wholesale inflation rose 8.5% in September. Some members of Congress who want to kill the COVID vaccine mandate for members of the military think they may have found a way to do it.
Members of the conservative House Freedom Caucus are calling on Republican leaders to delay passage of the annual defense authorization bill until after the new year if its demands, like repealing the military's COVID-19 vaccine mandate, are not met. The group says in January, a new Congress may include GOP majorities in either the House or Senate that can rework the legislation.
And that's correspondent Bernie Bennett. Watching Wall Street, stocks mixed. Right now, the Dow trading 122 points higher, while the NASDAQ is flat, and the S&P up 3 points. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Charlie Dombeck here from Key City Capital. As a practicing CPA for nearly 30 years, I have found that 80% of your ability to grow your wealth is dependent upon two factors, taxes and investment performance. At Key City Capital, we improve investment performance by diversifying capital into off-market investment opportunities in passive rental real estate and alternatives like asset-backed lending. We recover dollars that clients unnecessarily pay in the form of income taxes, creating a lifetime annuity of savings. We are a sponsor of passive, affordable single and multifamily residential rental investments, which are located in Sunbelt landlord-friendly states. These investments are the top choices in a rising interest rate and inflationary environment. They represent a store of value, protecting your capital from market volatility. Learn how we at Key City Capital can help you ultimately grow your wealth rapidly. Connect with me at keycitycapital.com or give me a call at 817-912-1569.
A strike by oil workers in France resulting in shortages at gas stations around the country. The BBC's Hugh Schofield in Paris.
Long queues of cars, now a regular sight at the pumps. It's become a matter of urgency for the government to get the fuel flowing again. Its latest move is to requisition key staff at a refinery in Normandy, threatening prosecution unless they allow some lorry tankers to load up. But the hardline unions behind the stoppages see this as a threat to their right to strike, and they've toughened their position. They want pay rises to take account of the huge profits being made at the moment by the oil companies.
A new liquefied natural gas project off Africa's west coast may be only 80% complete, but already the prospects of a new energy supplier drawing visits from the leaders of Poland and Germany. The production field may hold 5 times more gas than what Germany used in all of 2019. News and analysis at townhall.com.
The U.S. is reportedly considering a Ukrainian-style parole for Venezuelan migrants.
U.S. officials say the Biden administration is developing plans for Venezuelans with sponsors to be granted parole to enter the United States, similar to how Ukrainians have been admitted after Russia's invasion. Venezuelans have suddenly become the second largest nationality at the U.S. border. Three officials described the outlines of the plan to the Associated Press, emphasizing that talks were fluid and subject to change. Two of the officials say that Venezuelans who qualify for parole would enter the U.S. at airports, mirroring a program introduced in April that allows Ukrainians with financial sponsors to stay for up to 2 years. I'm Lisa Dwyer.
The International Monetary Fund is downgrading its outlook for the world economy for 2023. The IMF predicts the global economy would eke out growth of just 2.7% next year. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott. This is Free Fire Radio.
Good morning, and welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Today, the 12th of October, 8:05 in the morning. News brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your health, your choice. Healing starts there. Shasta Regional Medical Center. My co-host today, Ted Leidy.
Good morning, Carl.
Good morning, buddy. And Liam's at the helm. He's going to tell us what the weather is.
Alrighty. So yeah, we're going to be in the mid to high 90s this week. Today we're going to have a high of 96, Thursday a high of 97, and Friday a high of 96. We're going to be in the low 60s, except for Saturday night we're going to hit 58. Saturday and Sunday are going to be 92, and then Sunday is going to be 86.
Okay.
So, it's going to be warm, man. You know,
it's still hot out there.
It is. October's a toss up.
Yeah.
October is always a toss-up, you know, because I work on a gun range all day, so I don't know exactly how many months it's going to be 100 degrees and 95 degrees and all that. I always pray for October because it's a toss-up. Sometimes it's nice and cool all day, you know.
Shasta Scout, which is an online newspaper.
I like
Annalise Pierce, for the most part, puts in articles and things that are articles and not opinion pieces. Now, she has opinion pieces in there, too, from people.
Yeah, yeah.
But she did one, the latest one, about the drought, this three-year drought and going into a fourth year and mm-hmm. all the things that can affect it, that can happen if we go into another year. And right now, we've only had 6 inches of rain or precipitation by this point of the year, and that's a third of what we should have.
You know that, we have friends, Carl, you and I, mutual friends, whose wells are going dry. You know, who's struggling to pump, and you know, it's a $25,000 fix to get a new well.
Well, Ted Ogilvie, who owns Diamond Core Drilling, for all intents and purposes, is 2 years out.
Oh, I know.
And he won't touch, some of them will go, and he won't touch anything. He'll drive up, and if there's any marijuana on the property, turns around and leaves, just turns down his, $25,000 and goes to another spot.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, it's going to be tough. Hey, with us today is Jake Mangus, who is the CEO of Reading Chamber of Commerce. You probably don't recognize, it's hard to recognize Jake because he'll run around with a beard and then he just cut all of his beard off. And so he went from looking like, older than his father.
No.
To, looking like the 12-year-old again. So welcome.
Yeah, I'm doing my best.
Very boyish face.
James Taylor or something like that.
He's got
a beard. He doesn't have a beard. What's the deal here?
You got a boyish face on like me.
And you do.
Give him a break. Look at how young he is. I try to go back to that,
Hey, you went back to the big Chamber of Commerce meeting in the swamp in D.C.
Sure did. It was, number one, it was 6,000 miles of air miles in 2 days.
Wow.
They said, congratulations, Californian. We're going to send you out on a Sunday and back on a Monday. Deal with it. So
you went to the meeting on Monday?
I flew out on Sunday morning and, flew home Monday evening after the, 8 hours, in D.C.
Wow.
And, all I can say is well worth it.
I tell you what, when we came back, landed in Boston, and it was like a six-hour flight.
Yeah.
Back to San Francisco.
Correct. That's what I did.
I tell you what, that's a of course, we've been traveling all day, but that's still a killer.
I'll tell you that one of the things that was awesome about it, though, is that, you know, to be in a 737 and have a TV screen in front of you, and it happened to coincide perfectly with the start of Monday Night Football when the Niners completely destroyed the Rams. So by the time I got to SFO, and I got goosebumps as a Niner fan because I show up to SFO and there are Niner fans everywhere, and they're just, you know,
all excited,
post game, pumped up still.
Yeah. That's cool.
So the 49ers is a football team?
Yep, that's right. You know, so right, it's like it was the 49ers or the 40-winers, and then it was the Rams or the Lambs, you know, depending upon your perspective. So
okay, let's move past.
Yeah.
That.
So anyway, but yeah, the U.S. Chamber cohort. This is right when we got there, this is U.S. Chamber of Commerce. It's called the Business Leads Fellowship Program. It's something I applied for consideration. I got in, one of 35 across the country. We get to D.C., and I hadn't been there since I was 7th grade going into 8th grade. So all these memories come flooding back. But getting on the metro train, getting downtown, I got to tell this story first, though, because I know we got some time today.
I get to the
concierge at the Sofitel Hotel, 2 blocks from the White House, and there's, you know, the concierge there, right? And he says, I just need to see your ID, major credit card. So give him my ID. He looks at it. He sees Redding, California. He looks up at me. He leans in, and he goes, how's the state of Jefferson?
And winks
at me. And so I go, where are you from? And he goes, I'm from the Eugene, Oregon area.
Oh, yeah.
And then I go, so you obviously know Redding. And he said, yeah, one of my best buddies went to Shasta College. And, you know, so just a small,
you have to ask.
Small world, right? So
did you ask him who it was?
I didn't, because he said he moved back, and it was in 2018, so I quickly put together car fire year and Redding and all that stuff. But he said, Oregonians, we have a way of bringing our own back. And I said, well, that's the same for us. And we identify more as, you know, probably more of the rural part of Oregon than certainly the city life in California. And he said, well, you know, it is the state of Jefferson officially.
Yeah. So, go Ducks. Or Eugene.
You know, I got a kick out of that.
We get a kick out of it, but it's also the things that people wrote about us, because I was interviewed by the LA Times and Washington and New York would call. Donnie would say, well, you know, you need to talk to Carl Bott and give him my phone number. And I tried to make the point. Yeah, you know, we are a politically active committee or community here, but it's not the whole community. I said, you ought to also put in there that we are one of the top giving cities in the nation, that we have, you know, great schools. We have, you know, it's a super place to live. Yeah, we have, you know, we have the stuff that's going on with everybody else, but it's out of 198,000 people in Shasta County. You know, the percentage of people who are really active in one way or the other is, as in any other place, is a very small percentage.
Well, and I'll say that,
never got into the story. It was always knuckle draggers, bloodthirsty, troglodytes.
Well, so this for me was part of the inspiration truly for applying for this fellowship program, was to show that this part of our state, we are doing good stuff, and, we want to be recognized. So I was selected. We sat down in the morning, Monday or so ago. And anyway, they ended up saying, welcome and congratulations. For every one of you in this room, there were at least 4 other applicants that were not accepted into this program. We feel that we have selected the best and the brightest across the country. And so anyway, you know, maybe myself excluded, but anyway, I'm sitting there and ready to soak it up. So this is all about workforce development and Chamber of Commerce industry partnership. Being an industry partner at the table for workforce, working with the educational institutions, working with the other workforce partners in our community. So think Shasta College, think Simpson University, think the Smart Workforce Development Center, and the like, think the EDC, and here we are at the table representing the current business community, because one of the things that is missing from the picture is the current and future local job market. And there's a lot to get to, but I'll just say workforce development starts at birth.
Okay, so let's take an early break so we can get into this and go through the you've got a lot,
I got a lot of stuff lot to of share. Stuff,
so we want to yep. run through this as much as possible. Hey, this portion of the show brought to you by Sleep Number. Yeah. I readjusted my bed last night from my usual Sleep Number setting to another one because I managed to get into a losing battle with a pop-up tent and pull something in my lower back. Anyway, okay, laugh about it, and thank God nobody was there with a video of it. But so I can do that with my Sleep Number bed because I can change the firmness of the mattress for whatever's going on in my life right then. I've never slept better. Linda's never slept better. My Sleep Number setting is usually 50. And last night I took it up to 70. And Linda's Sleep Number setting is 30 and sleeps like a baby in there. I'll go for the 30 mark. But it's sleep is so important. It's important. Your kids need, 10 hours of sleep growing up, teenagers, 9 to 10, and we as adults, 7 to 8 every night. And you get better sleep. And it's proven sleepers who use their 360 smart bed technology enjoy 20 minutes more restful sleep per night.
And I was a 76 last night.
You were 76?
Yeah, that's good. That's a good night's sleep. 76 is good. That's high.
So why choose proven sleep quality sleep 40. From Sleep Number? Because to be in your best every day, you need proven quality sleep every night. And now, don't miss Sleep Number's special introductory offer on the new Climate 360 smart bed. Oh, yeah. You should sleep cooler or warmer. Only at Sleep Number Store. And our Sleep Number Store, of course, is in the Target Shopping Center next to the Vitamin Shop. Great people there. Go in and lay on the bed. Find out why Sleep Number is such a great bed. You can go to the Sleep Number Store or even look at sleepnumber.com. We'll be right back with Jake Mangus.
At Shasta Regional Medical Center, we're specialists in emergency care with the experience and training to deliver expert diagnosis and treatment to all emergency patients. Shasta Regional Medical Center is certified as an advanced primary stroke facility and is one of the nation's 50 top cardiovascular hospitals and is a fully accredited chest pain center. In an emergency when every minute has meaning and every second counts, choose Shasta Regional Medical Center, your choice for emergency care. Shasta Regional Medical Center, caring for our community when minutes matter.
Hey Shasta County, Chris Kellstrom here again, your candidate for District 5 Supervisor. On the campaign trail, a lot of the complaints I hear seem to surround some of our county code enforcement and health department. I believe we have some great people working for our county enforcing our codes and rules, but I would like to see some of those departments to redirect their focus a bit. When we have transient camps full of filth, waste, and drug paraphernalia, I would encourage our health department to concentrate on those areas rather than the small business owners or volunteers who are already doing their best to comply with our codes and ordinances. When there are large-scale marijuana grows being conducted in our county by non-county residents and even some out-of-country growers, we need code enforcement to concentrate on the pesticides and fertilizers that are contaminating our environment rather than the unpermitted carport or the above-ground pool that isn't up to code. Shasta County is a great place to live, raise a family, and retire to, but we do have some problems. I would like to use some of our great people and county assets to help solve those problems and lessen the burden on our law-abiding citizens. I'm Chris Kellstrom, and I would be honored to earn your vote. This ad paid for by the committee to elect Chris Kellstrom, District 5 Supervisor.
This is KCNR Radio, 1460 AM, 96.5 FM, and streaming live at KCNR1460.com with Carl and Linda Bach.
Wind River Resort and Casino has Monday Night Football, the best day of the week. So come on down to catch your favorite team on any of our 16 screens inside season. Score big with our stadium snacks half off during the game. Play hard, win easy with more prizes, cash, and free slot play. 49er tickets up for grabs all season long. So get your team gear on, grab your friends, and see why Mondays are the talk of the football season. Find your moment at Wind River Resort and Casino.
Hi, this is Doug Lamalfa. If you've shopped for groceries or gassed up your car lately, you know that inflation is getting worse, not better. There is no reason why everything we buy these days needs to cost so much more than it did just 2 years ago. The Biden administration and the Pelosi Congress are wrecking our economy with their massive spending, their regulations, and tax increases. They've wasted our precious water, neglected our forests, and ruined our domestic energy industry, making us more dependent on expensive foreign oil. Their bureaucracy, their regulations, and mandates make everything cost more, crushing small business. I fight in Washington for families' needs, not some political agenda. To keep our water flowing and our crops growing. A federal government actually managing our forests to prevent devastating fires instead of watching them burn. To cut through the nonsense to help our families survive. I'm Doug LaMalfa. I approve this message, and with your support, I'll keep fighting for what's right. Paid for by the Doug LaMalfa Committee.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios, KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio with Ted Leidy and Carl Bott. No, it's not Man Up. We're, he came in today because his friend, Brian Seamus, was our first guest, and Brian spent, well, I don't know, 32 years in prison and has overcome that. And I thought his testimony or his story needed to be heard by people.
It's fascinating.
Because he's one of those Prop 57 babies,
right,
that everybody, I mean, me, you, law enforcement, you know, it was a horrible, you know, it's done very, very, had very bad effects on communities throughout the state. Yet every so often you get somebody like Brian and you realize, okay, you know what? People have taken advantage, have changed themselves. And are moving forward.
I was very interested when he said that the recidivism rate for his demo, you know, which is, I don't know, 20 years or more, is very, very low. Because
his age and been in as long as he has.
Right, right.
Like 1%.
Yeah, I guess you learn, you grow, and you really, you know what freedom's all about. It's the career criminals that we can't just keep putting out on the street.
And he's that age, and he literally took a look at himself, and he said, all this time we were wired to think everybody else is wrong. Then I realized, no, they're right. They run into, you know, bad things that happen to them and agonizing things, but they don't turn to drugs or violence. So I find him a very interesting gentleman.
I see that there are three buckets of people out there that we can look to for current and future workforce. There are those that are out there right now, employable, looking for work. And then there are those that are looking to re-enter the job market, similar to this guy that was on before me. Sounds like it was very inspirational. Mm-hmm. And then the third, I think, is those that are students and are coming up through our school system. And how do we put them in a position where they can be successful?
And that's what we want to talk about, because we're talking about the workforce.
Yep.
And it is, listen to anybody from anywhere, workforce is a problem.
Yeah, and I think that in a boom or a bust economy, so whether things are going great or, you know, you're in a recession, workforce is something that needs to be part of, like an integral part, one of the pillars of the Chamber of Commerce's work. And we've been absent from the equation. And so that's something that before the pandemic struck, we were on the road to business retention and expansion work and kind of dipping our toes in the water with MOUs with Shasta College on upskilling the current workforce. And we've done some of that stuff. I've spoken in schools and, you know, worked through Rotary with job shadow programs and things like that, but never an official full-fledged workforce effort where we're putting money behind it and all of these types of things. So, this became a great opportunity. And when I got out there to DC for this Business Leads Fellowship focused on workforce and industry's role in it, they began at birth. And just the week before I went out to DC, I got a tour of the new SCOE building. The Shasta County Office of Education has a new early childhood education center off Hilltop Drive. And being the son of a TK teacher, I know the importance of the first 5 years of development for public health metrics and things like that. But I could never really draw that, you know, this little kid that's being watched in a safe environment, nurtured and taught, equals at least one job in our local community, because mom and dad or mom or dad is able to drop that child off and then go do something like work locally. Mm-hmm. And so making that connection was a big light bulb turning on for me. And then to get out there to DC and have them start with early childhood education as part of the workforce development story was really gratifying. When they say 2/3 of children under 5 live in homes where both parents work compared to only 1 out of 10 homes in 1940, we know that's the case. 50% of people live in a child care desert, and they've described our community as one of those, if not a desert, certainly a very, very arid situation when it comes to child care. And it costs about $9,000 a year for child care for one kid.
By the way, we're here with Jake Mangus, CEO of Reading Chamber of Commerce. He's talking about this meeting he went back to. The Chamber of Commerce invited him. They only, you know, they can't bring everybody, so Jake was selected and was one of that 25% to come back and talk about what's going on and to attend this convention. So we are living here in kind of a dearth of child care, huh?
Yeah, and hopefully that's going to change. Visiting with people like Renee Menifee from SCOE, you know, a week ago, and actually on Columbus Day as well at my office, talking about the big effort that they're trying to put together to create a larger child care center where there's no stigma based upon your income. You walk in and it doesn't matter what parents make or do for a living. These kids are going to be in the classroom together, and there's a lot more to this, but they're talking about hundreds of kids in one new site.
And
one facility. And why is this interesting is that I was divided in, the 35 of us were divided into three different groups out there in D.C., and I was with others representing regional and metro chambers. This young lady two seats down from me from the Shoals in Alabama said they realized there that child care was the number one barrier to workforce, and they actually, the chamber, opened a child care center, which is not necessarily what we're going to do, but It's just telling that that's a key. Our first speaker of the day.
This is what the child care center is, then it allows both parents to work.
That's correct.
The kids are in school.
Yep. Quality, affordable child care is a big piece of the puzzle.
Affordable child
care. So expensive. Child care is so expensive.
And there's something called the work and the second, say the, you know, the husband, wife, and one of their incomes, a lot of their income goes just
child
to child care.
Yeah.
One of the, well, let's see. I was trying to think. Shoot. Forgot. So our first speaker of the day was this African-American man, pretty tall, wearing a suit, got up in front of us, didn't know who he was. He was introduced as John King, Jr., not related to Martin Luther King, Jr., but I did go to the Lincoln Memorial in the morning when I was there, and that was amazing. It was just me and Honest Abe, and I walked over and looked out over the Washington Mall and everything.
That is amazing.
In the morning.
It
was so cool. Nobody was there. I was there by myself. So anyway, John King Jr., he introduces himself and he says, when I was 8, my mother passed away. When I was 12, I lost my father. My father had dementia, so I would come home. Sometimes he would talk to me. Sometimes he would yell at me. Sometimes he wouldn't say anything. I knew cognitively as a kid that it was because something was wrong upstairs with my dad, but still it had an effect on me. I grew up in inner city New York City, and if it wasn't for that teacher that I had in PS 272 in 4th, 5th, and 6th grade, I'm certain I wouldn't have developed a love for reading, a love for learning. I wouldn't have gone to Harvard University and got my bachelor's, Columbia University and gotten my master's in education, and gotten my degree from Yale subsequent to that, and become, under Barack Obama's administration, the 10th Secretary of the Department of Education. It was amazing. I mean, politics aside, the fact that this man was on top of his game, and he was actually, I just saw this on his Wikipedia page, he was actually sworn in the day before his 40th birthday.
Wow.
So this guy was amazing. And he's talking about test scores, and he's talking about what smart school districts are doing these days. And a lot of it had to do with engaging with the business community. He said, this is one of the rare cases where the civil rights community and the business community have made strange bedfellows, because we're speaking the same language. And it's this, the belief that every child, regardless of ethnicity, socioeconomic background, should graduate high school, college, and career ready. And that's exactly what we're saying in the business community.
I like that. Well, college, you know, and career ready. That means you don't necessarily go to college, but
correct.
You are ready to take that next step go to Shasta College and get that, get your associate's degree in heavy equipment and, you know, walk into a well-paying job. It doesn't mean going to college for 4 years, but that term, being college or workforce ready.
Well, you know, here's the thing. I am surprised, and quite frankly, I don't know, maybe a little miffed about this whole thing. This was something that has been in place or should have been in place since, you know, World War II. I mean, this is something that this is 2022 and we're talking about this now.
Yeah.
Is it because we've gotten so far away from it?
It's because the mantra for at least a generation, maybe two generations, was college,
right.
college. In fact, in our local high school systems, I've been told anyway, that the counselors, the teachers, number one on their list is getting kids to college.
Of course.
And actually get scored as far as how many kids are going to college. And so for me, it's not, I think one of the mistakes that we make too is that we say, well, you know, Jake really stinks in the classroom, so let's throw him in the trades. You know, that's not the way it should be. Mm-mm. Students of all abilities, all performance of aptitudes should be able to be presented a more complete picture about utilizing, they should be assessed. My opinion is this is one of the projects I'm supposed to work on over the next 6 months in this cohort thing with the U.S. Chamber is the belief that every student in high school, at least, should be assessed for their aptitude, their interest, and how their brain is wired that gives them a predisposition for success in certain types of work. And then to take that and compare it to the current and future local job market. So when the counselor is talking with that child, it's not just about pursuing your passion or following your dreams. It's also about, okay, that's great. You know, you're good at this stuff. You have a propensity to be really excellent, you know, in a certain field of study. Well, let's look at the high demand, high wage jobs in our community now and into the future. And let's think about shaping your educational pathway for that purpose, because it's a win-win. It's going to set the student up for success, from a, you know, doing a job that they're good at and could enjoy and also make a living. And it's good for the, from the EDC standpoint too, when we're looking at bringing in employers and they want to know, is your workforce ready to go? What does it look like? Well, I think part of the equation is getting into the classroom and connecting commerce with the classroom, industry with education in a better way than we do today.
And you know, the problem is it's a peer thing. Right. If you're not going to college, you're nobody. And so they just, you know, they're driven to it.
And it's like you said, though, we need to find what they're good at, what they enjoy.
We'll talk about that when we come back.
I took that aptitude test when I was
like
the
ASVAB.
Well, the ASVAB.
Remember the ASVAB?
Is an incredible program. That's what I was going to talk about.
I took a test and it came out and the counselor said, well, you know, this says you'd really be good in the military or education. So I got my degree in education and then went in the military.
Well, how related are those two?
Well,
absolutely.
I think they are. Yeah. Anyway. Let's okay. Hey, this portion of the show brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center. And by the way, Shasta Regional Medical Center is underwriting the Chamber of Commerce show we have in here every month.
All right.
They are one of the top rated hospitals by the Watson Health Institute for Cardiovascular, one of the top 50 cardiovascular hospitals, centers for Medicare and Medicaid, highest ratings from them. They're the only area hospital with the Da Vinci Xi surgical robotic system, which means less pain, reduced risk, and faster recovery time. Shasta Regional Medical Center. Healing starts here.
Hey, Casey Fatch and I went out to lunch last week, and he shared about that little doohickey that measures the pressure inside of your heart.
That's right.
And I thought that was pretty cool, non-invasive idea there.
And what he was talking about there is that if somebody's got a heart condition, that they can monitor it from afar. They don't have to come in all the time. And he says that's very, very – it saves lives, and it helps people recover faster. So we'll be right back with Jake Mangus, CEO of Reading Chamber of Commerce.
I need someone to love me the whole day through. I want to look in my eyes and you can tell that.
Hey, Shasta County, Chris Kellstrom here again, your candidate for District 5 Supervisor. On the campaign trail, a lot of the complaints I hear seem to surround some of our county code enforcement and health department. I believe we have some great people working for our county enforcing our codes and rules, but I would like to see some of those departments to redirect their focus a bit. When we have transient camps full of filth, waste, and drug paraphernalia, I would encourage our health department to concentrate on those areas rather than the small business owners or volunteers who are already doing their best to comply with our codes and ordinances. When there are large-scale marijuana grows being conducted in our county by non-county residents and even some out-of-country growers, we need code enforcement to concentrate on the pesticides and fertilizers that are contaminating our environment rather than the unpermitted carport or the above-ground pool that isn't up to code. Shasta County is a great place to live, raise a family, and retire to, but we do have some problems. I would like to use some of our great people and county assets to help solve those problems and lessen the burden on our law-abiding citizens. I'm Chris Kellstrom, and I would be honored to earn your vote. This ad paid for by the committee to elect Chris Kellstrom, District 5 Supervisor.
I'm Max Steiner, the Democratic candidate for Congress here in CD1. I am a combat veteran and a political moderate. I am pro-timber, pro-gun, pro-choice, and pro-America. I am not a typical woke Democrat, and I am not a career politician. My legislative priorities as your representative would cut across party lines. We need to protect the fundamentals of our democracy. We must reduce fire risk by thinning our forests, strengthening the timber industry, and hiring more firefighters. We need to build more dams to reduce the impacts of climate change. We should codify Roe v. Wade into law. Finally, we must ensure security abroad with a strong military and security at home with strong police forces. We need to make big changes in Washington. If we keep voting for the incumbents, nothing will ever change. We need politicians who will put principles over party, politicians who will say no to the far left and the far right. We need politicians who will truly put America first. In November, I would be honored to earn your vote.
Hi, this is Marcus Barton, candidate for Redding City Council. As a resident and business owner in this area for over 20 years, I pledge to use my experience to improve the quality of life in Redding. I will support responsible development while safeguarding historic properties like the riverfront and rodeo grounds. I will support our law enforcement officers and firefighters so that we have the best emergency services possible. I will support our business community by cleaning the bureaucratic muck bogging down our permit approval process. With your vote, I commit to putting your priorities first.
Hi, this is Reading Mayor Pro Tem Mark Mazzano. I'm excited to tell you I'm endorsing Marcus Parton for Reading City Council. He is the best choice for Reading.
Paid for by Marcus Parton for Reading City Council 2022.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Obtaining a California concealed weapons license will allow the licensed individual to transport a listed handgun in their vehicle or on their person in public. For application instructions, training, and other information, contact NFI at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios, KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. This portion of the show brought to you by Cypress Square Barbershop right off of Athens Avenue. It's a better known business. It's the only place I had my hair cut. 15 years. Never had a bad haircut. My brother, Ted Leidy, goes there.
I go there, yeah. I used to have a stylist. Well, but now I do. Now Logan cuts my hair.
I shamed him out of it.
You shamed me out of it.
I did.
Every time I come in, I turn in my man card.
There you go. And you whine a little bit.
Now we need to get Perry over there.
Now we need to get Perry over
there. Yeah. Well, if Perry's over there, he's manned up.
He's manned up.
Yeah, once he goes.
We're working with him.
Man's last stronghold.
It is man's last stronghold. They work by appointments. Give him a call at 530-244-9478. Hey, we're here with Jake Mangus, CEO of the Reading Chamber of Commerce. And Nick, do you have a question?
I do have a question for Jake. But first,
hey,
I
Nick.
Want to say on the Pocahontas Nest Sunday, we're going to dissect your debate with Kevin Cry and Aaron Reister.
Oh, I knew that was coming.
If we have time after our mental health state mental health specialist comes on and gives us some insight to the mental health problems some of our citizens
here's what I asked, Nick, that
hey, yeah.
you go by you use the debate that's on the front page of our website, KCNR1460.com, and not on innuendos or things you read.
That's absolutely right. Okay. Everything I say is factual, but I heard something that I'm not sure is factual.
Well, I'm not going to talk about it right now, and I don't talk about that, but I have a guest right now, so what's the question?
The question is, I heard that from a very reliable source that Amazon wanted to put a warehouse out by the airport with two conveyor belts, one coming and one going to the airport. And I wondered if he had heard that rumor and why possibly it was next.
Okay, that is a good question. I think I've heard something like that, too. Thanks, Nick.
Well, all I can say is that working with the EDC, there are things you can share and things you can't. And when they're talking with a potential client, that's one that you can't talk about. But I'm just kind of drawing conclusions myself when they say, you know, in the next 3 years or so, Stillwater has the potential to create 2,000 new jobs. And so you wonder, what type of a business could create that number of jobs? And you would think it would have to be one of the big boys. So that's all I'll say.
Okay. Okay. Hey, by the way, I'm giving away two tickets to Oktoberfest. It's going to be this Saturday from 5 to 8 p.m. These are pretty good tickets. Bands, food. You get a free beer if you have a ticket when you walk in. To the first person that calls, 530-605-4567. Okay, Jake, let's move on.
Yes. So, actually, I was sharing with Ted off air a little bit, but we get into this. How do we better connect the business community with our local educators? And I think that's the big question, and one that I hope to help solve in some way. We know Shasta County Office of Education, where you're going, let's just say K through 12. You've got Shasta College and its wide breadth of employee employment workforce development programs, and then you've got the Smart Workforce Center. Wendy Zanatelli does a great job there with NorTech, and she's also on the Reach Higher Shasta Workforce Committee, chairs that, and I'm on that committee. And then our major employers locally. So representing the business community, what can we do to help go upstream into the classroom and better connect our students with the current and future local workforce? Because my why is that. It's, we're doing this because we're trying to grow, retain and grow Shasta County's future workforce. And I think that that's one of the big ways that we do that is the low-hanging fruit of the people that are already here, that are in school locally. And from a basic level, I want more. These kids, I see them, the students walking around with light bulbs over their heads. How many of them are on and how many of them are off?
Right, right.
And I want more of those light bulbs to be turned on to future careers that they didn't know existed in the county, if not for the efforts of the chamber. I'm on a committee just to, you know, fill time, but I wanted to tell you that I try not to join committees unless I see that it's going to be worth the time. This one, I think, is. It's a Shasta College Accounting Clerk Apprenticeship Program. This is something that they are fashioning after a successful model that they've done with logging in Sierra Pacific Industries, right? Accounting clerks are needed across industries locally. They're desperately needed in a lot of cases. So what it would be is it would be, and this is going to happen, it's being developed now, 3,000 hours in a business. So KCNR, as an example, would take on an accounting clerk, and you would agree to pay that accounting clerk whatever the base range hourly rate is, so the student is learning and earning on the job. You're committing to guiding them and teaching them about your industry and everything. And then at the same time, they're in the classroom at the college with almost 1,000 hours of theory on all things accounting. And at the end of 18 months, they've got an accounting clerk certificate. They either continue to work for you, and that's what you probably would want if you've invested all this time and money into this person, or they continue their education while they're working with you.
2,000 hours, what is that,
so
a
it's
year?
2,080 hours is one full-time employee. So
okay.
3,000 hours in 18 months is what they're asking for.
Okay.
And so it's a program like that that we know we'll be able to measure and have influence in that makes it worth the time. It's not so specialized that only a certain business would be able to benefit from it. Pretty much every business needs a bean counter.
If you think about it, there are jobs that are begging. They're begging for people on accounting, truck driving. Okay, we laugh about that.
No, that's
but
true.
They are already 60,000 truck drivers short, with a bunch of them retiring. And so it is a six-figure salary.
We knew that this was coming because at the end of the day, baby boomers are retiring, and that was a huge population. You know, that's a huge demographic. So you got to fill those jobs somewhere, and I'm not really sure, and that's why we're talking about this again after all this time.
Yeah.
You know, Jake, the regional occupation program, we were talking about that on break. Yep. They still have that?
They do. ROP is alive and well in Shasta County.
That's a big deal.
I have another question for you, Jake.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Liam. This is what I like about Liam. He's 18.
Yes.
And he's in that group of people. So, Liam, turn it
on. Well, so, you're talking about, trying to get kids from, high school and, our mm-hmm. local colleges to stay and be a part of the workforce. In my experience, a lot of people who are younger are less incentivized to stay because there's just not as much for their demographic, locally in the culture, you know?
Yeah.
Do you guys have plans in place to incentivize younger people to want to stay? I guess that's my question.
Yeah, I would say the answer is yes. When we're talking about quality of life, what do we mean by that? I know that we measure things like the cost of housing, the commute times, the air quality, the recreation, and all that kind of stuff. But it's natural that someone who is 18, you got the world by the tail and all options mm-hmm. available. If we want to go out and see the world, that's natural. I felt that too. I think that the answer is yes. Working to develop a sense of a community where those that are younger feel like there's stuff to do, and things that they would want to see, whether it's, art, music scene, more of a nightlife. The American dream doesn't necessarily equal being a homeowner and having the white picket fence and a lawn you've got to mow and take care of and a big mortgage and all that stuff,
right? It could be an apartment downtown.
Yeah.
And being able to go out to a club where you can dance.
Walkability, rideability, all that.
Let me just brag on Liam.
Yeah.
He's a member of a group of musicians, had them all in here. They had a concert last Friday. Wasn't advertised except among themselves. 200 people show up for this, young people, and jam the place. You wouldn't know about it. I wouldn't know about it if it hadn't been for Liam. I think he's kind of in that direction. What is it for people my age that we want to keep them here? So you've got to have something for them to be able to relax with, and not drugs or beer gardens, but clubs and things that people of your age or younger than me like to go to, and then places that Ted and I hang out.
My Visit Reading buddy, our tourism marketing director, Danny Orloff, he's a Wairika kid, but he did go to Portland and worked for Nike, and we grabbed him from there. He just finished building a house in Cottonwood, actually, so they're putting down roots here, he and his wife and their young daughter. And he's doing some stuff that you'll see soon that's really exciting. I'm going to say keep your eyes and ears open over the next few days.
All right.
And I'll tell you afterwards, Liam.
Okay, great. Yeah. Hey, we have to take a quick break here.
Okay. And I'll tell you about ROP after the break.
Okay. Yeah, let's talk about that.
Want to remind everybody this on the 16th this weekend out there at Dry Creek Station, they're having a fundraiser for the local fire department. It goes from 9 till later in the day at the craft fair and flea market. Starts at 9. The chili cook-off starts at 12 noon. So going out there and help that local fire department down in Bella Vista Fire Department.
And help keep Liam in Reading.
Yep, there we go.
We'll be right back.
Hey,
Hey, Shasta County, Chris Kellstrom here again, your candidate for District 5 Supervisor. On the campaign trail, a lot of the complaints I hear seem to surround some of our county code enforcement and health department. I believe we have some great people working for our county enforcing our codes and rules, but I would like to see some of those departments to redirect their focus a bit. When we have transient camps full of filth, waste, and drug paraphernalia, I would encourage our health department to concentrate on those areas rather than the small business owners or volunteers who are already doing their best to comply with our codes and ordinances. When there are large-scale marijuana grows being conducted in our county by non-county residents and even some out-of-country growers, we need code enforcement to concentrate on the pesticides and fertilizers that are contaminating our environment rather than the unpermitted carport or the above-ground pool that isn't up to code. Shasta County is a great place to live, raise a family, and retire to, but we do have some problems. I would like to use some of our great people and county assets to help solve those problems and lessen the burden on our law-abiding citizens. I'm Chris Kellstrom, and I would be honored to earn your vote. This ad paid for by the committee to elect Chris Kellstrom, District 5 Supervisor.
Reading loves seeing new people and families move here, looking to join our community. But when those same people run for office telling us their big city ideas can unlock the untapped potential of our home, they're wrong. It's a shame they feel that way and can't see what makes our community so special. If untapped potential means bringing San Francisco to Reading, then it's better we just leave that keg untapped. Re-electing Michael DeQuisto and voting for Marcus Pardon will make our community great. And they're going to do the work needed to safeguard our home. Paid for by the committee to elect Michael DeQuisto.
Remember when filling up the gas tank didn't cost an arm and a leg? Me too.
Assemblywoman Megan Daly.
That's why I support suspending the gas tax to provide immediate relief from high gas prices and put money back in the pockets of working families.
Megan is focused on real-life issues impacting families, reducing the high cost of living, making items like food, gas, and diapers less expensive.
And like you, I'm tired of the wildfires and smoke that plague our region.
That's why Assemblywoman Megan Daly led efforts to improve forest management, put more firefighters on the front lines, and secured millions to help fire victims and communities recover. Megan's good work has earned her the endorsements of the California Professional Firefighters and California Correctional Peace Officers Associations.
California has to do better. That's why I'm fighting to fix the policies that have failed us all. Let's get California back on track and be sure to turn in your ballot.
Megan Daly for Assembly.
Paid for by Megan Daly for Assembly 2022.
Hi, this is Erin Resner, candidate for Shasta County Supervisor, District 1. Shasta County is my home, and I love our community. We continue to face tough challenges. Homelessness, public safety, and mental health are issues we all experience on a daily basis. How do we solve such complex problems? The answer is clear. Together. I have seen the strength of our community as a business owner, as mayor, and as a wife and mother. There is nothing we cannot do. Join me in the fight by voting for me on November 8th.
Paid for by Erin Resner for Supervisor 2022.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300, a reputation for excellence since 1965.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Hello. Our guest today is Jake Mangus, CEO of the Reading Chamber of Commerce. Ted Leidy and I are here, and we're throwing questions at him, and he's got all the answers. But he's talking about he went to a conference in the swamp back in D.C., It's no aspersion.
I put my mutters on, yeah.
Put your mutters on. With the National Chamber of Commerce, and they were talking about workforce.
Yep.
And workforce development, and it starts when they're kids.
Yeah, it really does. Yep. Starts early childhood education all the way through college and beyond. A couple of the takeaways. One is the business community's leadership is desperately needed in this space. Secondly is learning is a lifelong exercise. To think that you can just go to college and get a degree and never have to learn again is completely wrong. Things are evolving so quickly that we are in the age of continuing education, certification programs, and those types of things as you become, you evolve as your industry evolves, I would say is probably the best way I can think of it. So we know that we are in a significant moment when you've got 60% of companies reporting difficulty filling job openings, particularly in growth fields like IT. Only 33% of businesses believe that educational institutions are graduating students with the skills and competencies their businesses need. So something needs to change there. 62% of executives believe they will need to retrain more than a quarter of their workforce between now and 2030. And of course, employers also struggle with retaining substance-free workers.
Wow. Now, the retraining thing I'm interested
yeah.
in because they have to retrain them because of technological advances.
Yes.
Or so
yep.
things are moving so quickly.
Correct.
That if you do not have a background in adversity, like being able to be flexible,
mm-hmm.
right? No, and they're going to struggle in the workforce. And we start mm-hmm. that early. We can start that early for them kids. I went to small rural high school, West Valley. Go Eagles. But
the woodshed.
Yeah, pastor.
The pastor.
Yeah, we play the pastor.
It's a beautiful school, by the way.
But I believe
rest in peace, Mr. Woodman. Okay, go ahead.
Oh, yeah. I believe that they had an eye on the future as far as like guiding us in the direction that we need to go. But I will also say this: there is the 100% peer pressure idea that if you don't go to college, you're nobody. And so you have all of these students, going to Shasta College. Oh, I'm just going to go to college for a few years and see what it holds. And it's really, 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 they're just wasting time there for many of them, right? I mean,
yeah.
I went to college because I was supposed to go to college because that's what my peers did, right, at first. But I found out that I didn't like college. I didn't want to go to college at that age. I wanted to go do other things. So I joined the Army so I could see the world. But, of course, I finished college while I was in the Army.
Yeah, Army of One.
BLU can be, yeah. No, I'm not an Army of One. I'm a BLU can be, baby. There's two different ones. But the Army, of course, pushed the education really big time and paid for it. So I went to college while I was in and got my degree.
I got my master's while I was on active duty.
Right. So we really need to further that idea, Jake, that we had in the 70s and 80s to get students ready for the workforce. Because I don't, like you said, I don't know. Maybe I just don't see it right.
Jake, is this going to take, you talked about business leadership standing.
Yes.
Standing up, but this has got to be a relationship with our education system and business. Do we have something like that?
It has to be a community.
We have okay. great. It is. It takes the community. I'm the board chair of College and Career Options. It's officially changed its name, but you're going to see that rollout happen over the next half year.
Mm.
And that was an admission by that organization and recognizing that it can't just be only about college. It's college and career options. And this is a long-term commitment. I mean, this is like trying to affect change over time by getting upstream to young kids and have them start to think about their future career when they're young. It's also the quicker fixes to me is how can we, I was just talking to someone yesterday about how do you incentivize the private sector, the people that are already in this space, like, the O2 employment services of the mm-hmm. world and so on, to be incentivized to help with this work in some way, and I guess the way that it was described yesterday was two cliffs. And you got people on this one cliff saying, I need a job. And then there's this deep chasm. And the other cliff side is the employer saying, we need people. They're trying to get there. They just don't know how. So how do you create the bridge with the employment services folks and other people to help them get to that place and remove whatever these barriers are? Are people afraid of rejection? Like they're going to apply for a job and they're going to get rejected. Is it because they're on government, assistance and they're not hungry, literally because they got food in their mouths and a place to live and they're de-incentivized in that way. Is it a skills barrier? If we've got people that are in need of a job and those that need workers, we've got to do something that eliminates any of those barriers because we're in a moment where you've only got 60 some odd percent workforce participation. I don't care about the unemployment rate. I care more about how many people who are able to work are working.
Yeah. It drops every year.
Yeah,
I tell you what, another byproduct of COVID. So many people left the workforce and have not gotten back into it yet.
So I'm going to be back with you guys next month with another story to tell, because this is going to be a learning experience for me over the next 6 months. And then along the way, making sure it's not just about theory and planning and meeting, but we're doing something too.
Yeah, we can plan all we want.
Yep.
Hey, Jake, thanks a lot for being with us today.
Appreciate it.
Gosh, it's a pleasure. And of course, my brother, Ted Leidy.
Good being here, man. I love Jake. I thought Brian did a great job this morning. We just had a great show today. I just really appreciate you. I want you to know that, girl.
Well, you know, I'm not going to take 10 days off again, because I had too many people tell me how much they really enjoyed the shows while I was gone. And or maybe I'll just take off more time.
I want to celebrate something off the Shasta EDC website, which is their economic dashboard. And, you know, something we can hang our hats on, and to the point you were talking about, is that we are third out of 58 counties in California where we've got almost half of our population, 25 and over, have some college experience. So it's, once you go to college, if it's not for you, then what happens to those folks? So how can we do a better job of getting them from high school into a track that actually speaks to their abilities?
Speaks to their abilities and provides a living wage and a chance for advancement.
Yep, there you have it. Yeah.
Okay, tomorrow, Marcus Parton, who is running for Reading City Council, will be our guest today. We're going to have a couple other guests from that 7 to 8 time frame. Everybody, it's going to be a beautiful day. It's still going to be warm, though. So be careful out there and hydrate. And God bless America.
Well, I won't back down. No, I won't back down. You can stand me up.
KCNR, Shasta.